this. Once we figure out whatever that dumb word is, let's make that the title of this podcast.
We should absolutely introduce ourselves to our friends who already know us. But
yeah, you go first, host.
Okay, we are doing this with what are they called?
What?
When you go by a name that's not your own.
Stage name? Yeah, stage name, like.
No, I mean, yeah, that's correct, but it's not a pseudonym either. It's like
I know what you're talking about. It's not an alibi either.
What is it? Okay, well, whatever the fuck.
It'll probably hit us later.
Yeah, definitely shout it when it comes to you. Yes, we're going by names that are not our own. So I'm going by Cashew, which obviously that would be my name.
Okay. And then I'm going by Carl's, I assume?
Yes, absolutely, because that is the name that was given to you by me. So this show is called Cashew and Carl's.
And hey, guys.
For our special inaugural episode, we have brought in one of the most legendary, iconic guests. Carl's, would you mind introducing?
Everybody, by the way, sticking to the We're Having Gay Sex podcast, the guidelines, my pronouns are she, her, and I would really love to welcome my girlfriend to the podcast. So tell us your stage name.
I need a pseudonym, an alibi, but none of those.
She sometimes likes to go by just Champ.
Champ. I like that one. It flows off the tongue better.
Yes. God, Champ's what? Pronouns are also she, her.
Also, yes.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I am also she, her. I use she, her pronouns. And I cannot for the life of me remember what that word is. And it's going to bug me this entire episode. Which, by the way, from my research, we have about a 15-minute cap, which is definitely good because I don't know who on this planet would listen to us for longer than that amount of time.
Champ, don't laugh.
Oh.
You're right, Cashew. Only we are allowed to laugh, please.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, professionalism. Yes. Fuck. What is it? It's like when a spy... I guarantee you it starts with an A. It's like if a spy goes...
The only thing coming to mind is... freaking it's anagram spy. But I know that's not the right word. Oh my god, everybody bow down to me. Oh my god,
wow. Okay, so clearly we know who the intellectual is in this dynamic.
Obvi.
Alias. Yes. Okay. Yes, my alias is Cashew, and then Carl's, and then we got Champ, and then yeah. And for our future guests, we can also force them to have an alias as well.
I think we can come up with some good ones. Don't worry.
Yeah, and for the record, we have a pretty epic guest list. I've already gotten my cousin to agree to come on.
Hell yes! Oh my god!
And you know we got Bushy and Gam Gam on the way.
I can't wait.
Yes, that will be in the future. Okay, wonderful. Well, now that we have all of that out of the way, we thought that we would first have a chat about the one and only Taylor Swift and her latest album, Evermore.
Oh my god. Where to start, guys? Like, just so much to say.
Well, say it.
Well, I guess I would just start with some of my personal favorites. Love just diving into an album that way. I really like Gold Rush, just because I listened the chronologically to the different songs when I first heard the album, and I thought Gold Rush was like really fun, and a lot of the songs just have such a nice sound. I mean, the melodies are great. I'm not so good at listening to the words specifically. I'd mostly focus on like the sounds of the music. So I really like Gold Rush, Willow. I really like Ivy and Dorothea. Mm. I'm probably just going to list off every song on the album.
Is there a song that you are not a fan of?
It would be one of the slower ones. Like, I'm like the sad, really? Slow ones. Yeah, honestly.
We're the opposite then. In terms of,
oh yeah, don't you listen to sad music a lot, sort of?
Yes, I do dabble in the sad girl or music. However, I yep. do think, you know, this album, the stories that she tells are oftentimes like marriage related. She is 31, which is 13 backwards, so this is a big birthday for her because 13's the lucky number.
Oh my god.
It makes sense that a lot of her songs have to deal with like more adult themes, which is so frustrating because when she was making music, you know, when she was 16 and, you know, she was coming out with Fearless was 19, when she was coming out with Taylor Swift and then Fearless, you know, I was like, I was 10. So yeah. I fully did not comprehend, or like, I couldn't relate to the song she was putting out because I just had, you know, my fifth grade crush or whatever. And so finally I caught up, you know, when I hit high school, and then she's mm-hmm. making 1989 and stuff, which deals with like older themes. Mm-hmm. And so I could never, like, there was never an album that came out that I related to as it came out. Even Lover was the summer of my breakup. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're going to come out with the happiest album you've ever come out with at my lowest point. Like, and so then we have Folklore. And finally, thank God, I kind of get it. Now I'm single as fuck, but I could still like wrap my head around a lot of the themes. And now she's putting out songs about marriage. So Taylor Swift, I love her to death, but we've never been on the same wavelength.
And all of that is definitely valid. But, you know, that's kind of nice about her albums because she's, or you said she's 31, so 31. She's like 10 years older than us, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she's kind of singing about themes and events that maybe haven't happened to us yet so much, but that gives you some, you, like, hope for things. And you know, when you see those memes like when you're little and you listen to a breakup song and you look out the window and you're like 10 years old, like you said, like you've never experienced that, but whatever.
Vacation.
Yeah, it's like raining and you're like, god, oh, my life is so hard. Yes. Like, it's that just you just kind of can romanticize your life when you listen to her songs, you know.
Very good point. It's the same way in terms of listening to club music mm-hmm. when you're in elementary school, and Eminem, I mean,
oh yeah,
I don't know what Eminem does to strike such a chord in 8-year-olds, but I was definitely
we would go hard to Eminem before swim practice when I was 8 years old.
Right? Yeah. So, Champ, what is your opinion, if any? How much have you been forced to listen to this album? Did it feel like you were being forced, or is this voluntary for you?
Oh, no, this is voluntary. I love Taylor Swift.
Champ is a bigger fan than I am. She's been to, like, all of her concerts except, you know, Lover and, like, Folklore Evermore.
I missed Red, which is ironic because it's my favorite album. But I missed Red because I had a volleyball tournament. But I've been to every other one since Lover.
Damn. I wanted to ask you, what do y'all think about this theory that this is a trilogy and there's going to be a third album here in a few months?
Well, that is a shocker to me. I haven't even heard about like a possible trilogy. So
really?
I would believe it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I just hadn't considered that before, but I would believe it. My brain is so simple, I can't even connect Folklore to this album, like, with in terms of a storyline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'd be happy to relay what I heard.
Yeah, we
absolutely. Yeah.
Please elaborate, Cashew.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just finished watching an hour-long interview that Taylor did with Apple Music just the other day. And she explained it to where folklore, spring, summer, or fall, winter. So folklore is supposed to represent either spring or summer, one of those seasons.
Okay.
And then Evermore represents like the other one, like spring or summer. I'm pretty sure folklore is summer because it came out in summer. And then
yeah, and it's got to be because of like August and stuff, you know?
Right, exactly. Ooh. There's supposed to be like themes involving that. And then Evermore, like the last song on the album, you know how it mentions like November and December and stuff like that. So that's supposed to represent like the last bit of the year. But I feel like there is absolutely no way that you can have a whole album for an entire season and then just cram two final seasons of the, like one half of the whole year into one song. Like that's just not fair. So there has to be a third album that goes over fall and winter. And also another part of the theory is that you see that in both folklore and Evermore, Taylor wears a braid. Like she wears braids, and braids are three strands. So, and Taylor never does things accidentally.
She does. She's very big on her Easter eggs.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
So that's coming along. And another theme is that you'll notice that a lot of the songs in folklore have to do with redemption. You know, like asking forgiveness and like getting back together, kind of happy ending kind of deals. And then a lot of things in Evermore have to deal with what's it called, like endings,
right?
Yeah. Cashew, yeah. Are we gonna run out of time?
I don't know, we'll see what happens here, but okay. I don't know, we'll figure it out. I mean, maybe we could maybe we should outro in 15 seconds.
Okay. Okay, well, we have really covered some deep topics here. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Alias.
That was okay. Signing off.
This has been a Cashew and Carl's production.